Well, anybody who knows anything about building a house certainly knows the importance, the critical importance of a good foundation, right? I mean, I'm not an architect, but at least I know that if a house doesn't have a good foundation, that house is not going to do well. I'm sure a lot of you have had experiences with faulty foundations. Some people build gorgeous, beautiful homes that cost hundreds of thousands of dollars, even millions of dollars, on cliffs overlooking the Pacific Ocean. It's a very common sight to see along the coast of California, especially along the southern and central coast, cliffs that come down to the water, and people have built their homes up there, and the highway goes right by it, so you can look up and you can see the homes. And there's a little town called Sea Cliff, just south of Santa Barbara. And a few years ago, Sea Cliff, all of Southern California, the weather most of the time is like practically perfect, most of the time. Sometimes it rains for days. And a lot of those houses came tumbling down as the water got into the soil underneath the homes, and the mud just came down and the houses just came crashing down in a giant heap. And this is a pretty common occurrence, which floors me. I mean, like, don't they know? I mean, even I know you shouldn't be building your house right on the edge of a cliff, even if the weather is most of the time pretty good, because sometimes you have torrential rains, and whenever that happens, there's always news of houses that come crashing down. And I go, what insurance company is going to insure a house like that? I don't know. Well, anyway, in today's passage, Jesus is now concluding his Sermon on the Mount. Kent and I started this, I think, in September. Today is the last sermon from the Sermon on the Mount. And when I started, I asked you to please don't shoot the messenger, because Jesus says really hard things. So today he's going to say some more hard things as he concludes chapter 5, 6, and 7, all the body of teachings of the main things that Jesus has to say. So in Matthew 7, 24 to 27, he says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like the foolish man who built his house on the sand, or in the case of California, on the side of a cliff. The rain came down, the streams rose, the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." Now, the people living in Palestine in the first century knew exactly what Jesus was talking about, because their soil is mostly sand on the top. And if you're going to build a house, you have to dig down deep to the bedrock underneath all that sand. So nobody builds their house directly on top of the sand. They have to do the hard work of digging down. I don't know how far they have to go, but really, they have pretty good weather. I mean, it doesn't rain very much there. But it'd be foolish to build your house just directly on top of the sand, because sometimes it does rain, sometimes they get flash floods, and if you did that, obviously your house is going to get washed away. So everybody's sitting there listening to Jesus. It's going, oh, yeah, 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 we know, we understand, we get that. But this parable about the wise and the foolish builders is not hard to understand. You do not need to go to seminary to get this one. You don't need any training whatsoever, because Jesus makes it really obvious what he means. And he says point blank, this is what this parable means. If you heard everything I just said in chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7, all the Sermon on the Mount, if you heard it and you actually put it into practice, you're the smart guy who did the hard work of digging down to the bedrock and built your house on the rock. Jesus is not politically correct. He doesn't really mince words. The word he uses here for foolish is really moros, which is moron. Jesus is saying, if you heard everything I just taught and you do not put it into practice, you are a stupid idiot. Again, please don't shoot the messenger. That's what Jesus said. And so Jesus, you know, just tells it like it is. And here's another thing we need to notice about this parable. If you will notice, there is no promise, there's not even a hint of a promise that if you follow all of Jesus' teachings and you put everything into practice and you work really, really hard at being a good Christian, the storms are just going to go around you and not even touch you. And yet, somehow as Christians, and I know I've said this on many occasions, we have it in our head that if I'm a really godly person, I'm trying so hard to do everything Jesus ever taught, I should get a 30 or even a 50% discount on suffering. I've been good. Bad things should not happen to me. I remember when I was youth pastor out, this is early days in Southern California, and this dear boy in my youth group brought his older sister, who was in her 20s, brought her to church one time, and she was just crushed. She was devastated. The pain was just all over her face. And I'd found out that her husband, that she'd only been married to for a couple of years, decided he didn't want to be married anymore, so he abandoned her. So she was really crushed, and I looked at her, and I said, did you think that because you'd been a good Christian girl your whole life that God wouldn't let this happen to you? That was exactly what she thought. So not only did she feel abandoned by her husband, she felt abandoned by God. She was let down. She was disappointed in God. And I think most of us, frankly, feel the same way. Disappointed, let down in God when the unthinkable happens to us. But Jesus never promised, never, that we would be spared from heart surgeries or brain tumors or all the terrible things that happen in life. He did not promise that, as much as we wish that he had. But what he does promise is this, that if we will carefully follow all his instructions that he's given to us through the whole Sermon on the Mount, when the storms come, and they will come, we will not fall down. Our life will still be intact. We will not be crushed by the storms that everybody has to weather, whether it's illness or accidents or death or war or career disappointments, job loss, broken relationships. These things happen. And I don't care how rich and how famous you are. I don't care how godly you are. Nobody is exempt. Everybody gets storms. Some obviously get much worse storms, much more severe storms, and a lot more storms than other people. But it's like this. You know what? If you live in Kansas, are there going to be thunderstorms? Yes. Thunderstorms happen in Kansas. Hard things happen to us in life because it's the environment in which we live. And there's always going to be storms. And so living in Kansas, when the storms come, we're not so surprised because we know that happens. And we shouldn't be so surprised when things happen to us in life that don't seem like they should happen, but we always are. There's a pastor whose name is Keith Krell, and he puts it this way. He says, building on the rock is the best flood insurance you can invest in, which is a kind of a cool way to think about it. If you're putting into practice the teachings of Jesus, you're buying yourself flood insurance. He says, storms will come and go. You're either in a trial, you're either coming out of a trial, or you're about to enter into a trial. Like, sort of like in Kansas, thunderstorms come. But he goes on to say, nevertheless, if you've built your life on the foundation of Christ, you have nothing to fear. A good storm will demonstrate the stability of your foundation. So when you're hit with these storms, it will reveal to you how stable is your foundation. Same as in a house. You quickly find out how good of a foundation you have when your house goes through a major storm. But in reality, I think most of us really are caught off guard when a storm comes. I mean, we're blindsided. We don't see that coming. Who would have ever thought, oh yeah, a brain tumor? No, that never would have occurred to us. Or, you know, when somebody maliciously accuses you of something falsely and your whole life is turned upside down and inside out. Or when you find out that your spouse has not been faithful to you, or you show up at work one day and they go, sorry, you don't have a job anymore. Horrible things happen. That is true. And they happen in the blink of an eye, and so we are caught off guard. We're not prepared for them. However, that doesn't mean that we should ever give in to despair or despondency or fear. They are things that happen because we live in a broken world. And so Jesus says, look, you guys, if you obey my teachings and you're working at putting my everything I've taught into practice, when that storm smacks you hard, when the storm passes, and it will pass, you're still going to be standing there intact. Now, you might be pretty beat up and a little worse for wear, but you're not going to perish. And I was thinking about, you know, okay, how come people don't obey the teachings of Jesus? What's going on there? I don't know about you, but the concept of obeying anybody doesn't really sit very well with me. I mean, we're Americans, right? We're rugged individuals, and nobody's going to tell us what to do. We all are going to set the course of our life. We're going to be captain of our own ship. And we bristle if we ever feel like we're being told what to do or we have to obey somebody. Yeah. Yes. Come on, admit it. Nobody likes that. I don't even want to think, I have to obey Jesus. We just don't like the concept of obeying. But think about this. I'll bet you $1 million in your life, there are times when you're obeying somebody and you're doing it willingly and you're even paying the money to tell you what to do. Okay, so this past year, I had a wonky shoulder, meaning a frozen shoulder, which could get up about this high. So putting my hair in a ponytail was really tricky because I couldn't get my head over far enough or get my arm up, and using a curling iron was really hard, and the men are going, yeah, so what? But the women understand. But driving up to the bank, I always felt really stupid. I drive up to the bank, and they put that little drawer out, and you roll your window down. Couldn't get my arm out the window to put stuff in and retrieve it, so I had to unbuckle my seatbelt and reach across with my right arm so I could get into the little drawer. I mean, it was really getting inconvenient to have a frozen shoulder. Finally, I go to the physical therapist, and the physical therapist then starts giving me instructions that I have to obey if I want to get the use of my arm back. You know, and I really don't like exercise usually, so I didn't really want to go. But I went to the physical therapist because I got tired of not being able to use my arm. And I paid her money to tell me what to do. And what I think is that is exactly the same principle of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is giving you and me instructions on how to live a godly, full, abundant life full of blessings. And the question is, you know, did I trust my physical therapist to know what she was talking about so I would actually do what she told me to do? Yes, I trusted her. So I did it. I got my arm back. Yay. Here's my question to you this morning. Do you trust Jesus or not? Do you trust Jesus that he knows what he's talking about when he tells us all the stuff that we're supposed to do in these three chapters? Do you trust him? Clearly, not everybody does listen to Jesus and follow his advice. And some people pretend to follow his advice, but not really. So, for instance, when our three kids were, I think they were in grade school. I was trying to remember how old they were. But the bedtime routine was, okay, it's getting toward whatever it was, 8 or 8:30. It's time to go put on your pajamas and brush your teeth. We'll come check on you. We'll tuck you in. We'd go up and we'd check their toothbrush to see if it was wet, and then we knew that they brushed their teeth. Well, they knew that we were going to check to see if their toothbrush was wet. So you know what they did? They just ran their toothbrush under the water and then stuck it in the cup. They were pretending to obey us, but they weren't. And we caught on pretty fast that that's what was going on. I'm telling you, if you are pretending to follow the instructions of Jesus, do you really think you're fooling him? No. You can't fool God. You can't fool Jesus if you're just pretending to follow all his instructions and obeying him, but you're not really doing it. He's not fooled. And so as I was thinking about why people don't want to follow Jesus, I thought about, there's two main reasons that I could think of why people don't want to put his instructions into practice. I think the first one is that people don't want to be bossed around. They don't want to be told what to do, not even from God, not even from Jesus. They want to figure it out for themselves. Thank you very much. I'm going to learn the hard way. I don't care what it costs me. And here's what I think is so ironic about that. Everybody is building their life on a foundation based on something they got from somebody else. We don't build the foundation of our life out of a vacuum. We either get it from our parents or the culture that we live in, the people we hang out with, from stuff we see on TV and in movies. Maybe it's a book you read. Maybe it was a class you took while you were in college. But people are building their life on something, probably not something they made up. And Jesus says, if you're building your life, your foundation, on anything but what I've taught you, it is sand and you are an idiot. Only Jesus and his teachings are the rock, and that's what we should be building our house on. I think the other reason that people don't bother to build upon the foundation of Jesus' teachings, it takes work. It's hard. And some people are allergic to work, right? They don't want to put in the effort. It's hard work to actually put into practice everything that Jesus taught. And so, you know, people go, well, I'll just build my house on the sand. The weather's pretty good right now. It's probably going to stay good for the rest of my life, so I don't care if I do shoddy work. You know, if a storm comes and washes my house away, so what? You know, I'll figure it out then. They don't think ahead. A lot of people think that their poor foundation is never going to catch up to them. But you know what? How you live your life matters. It's going to pay off over the years, either for the good or for the not so good. I have a dear friend named Kathy, whose husband owns and operates a golf course. It's for families. It's for people to come with their kids and play golf. And it's a small little golf course. It's in Lawrence, just right off of K-10. And so Kathy was in the shop one day, and she's straightening things up on the shelves. And there's a girl behind the counter taking money from the customers. And a man walks in, and he's got two little boys with him, about 10 years old. And the man goes up to the counter, and he tells the girl, I'm just going to play. The boys are not going to play. They'll just follow along behind me. So the girl goes, all right. So she takes the money from the man just for himself to play. Kathy then goes out on the golf course to pick up stray balls, and she watches as the man plays three holes, and each boy is also playing those three holes. And she approaches the man, and he gets all embarrassed and just wigged out, and he starts digging out all these golf balls that they've been collecting off the golf course and stashed away and hidden in the golf cart. And he's giving her these golf balls and goes, oh, we were going to give these back to you. And Kathy, bless her heart, she goes, truth matters. My husband works hard to maintain this business. And then he goes, oh, she saw that the boys were playing and I didn't pay for them. So he goes, oh, I'll pay for the boys. I'll pay for the boys, you know, and I'll pay for everything. She just shook her head. She was just so furious. Truth does matter. And this man has built his life on cheating and lying. And what I think about with him is, oh my gosh, what is he teaching those two little 10-year-old boys? Yeah, it's okay to cheat and lie your way through life. I go, what's going to happen when at some point one of them is caught for embezzling money? Or what's going to happen when he's caught cheating on his wife? I mean, truth matters. You can't build on a faulty foundation and think nobody's going to care. So I think then in conclusion, I just want to refresh your memory a little bit about the things that Jesus taught us in the Sermon on the Mount. He's taught us to be humble and kind instead of arrogant and proud and hard-hearted. He's taught us to be sincere and to live with integrity, unlike the guy that was golfing and not paying for the kids and stealing the golf balls. He's taught us to love one another and to forgive people who've wounded us deeply. He's taught us to be pure in our heart, in our mind, and in our whole body, and to live our lives for God and not for ourselves. He's taught us to be generous with our love and very stingy with our judgment towards others. Use discernment, but don't be judging other people. He's taught us to let go of our grudges and never seek revenge, because revenge is his job, not ours. He's told us, look, store your treasures up in heaven, not on earth, because your stuff on earth is just going to be dust at the end of the day. And your treasures in heaven are forever. He's taught us to be merciful to others, showing the same kind of compassion we want for ourselves. And he's told us not to worry about our future, because he's got us. He knows what our future holds. And instead, seek the kingdom of God above all else. So everything that Jesus teaches about how to live a healthy, abundant life requires work on our part. There was nothing I said in that little bullet point of all the things he's taught us that comes easy. I don't think. Forgiving your enemies? That's hard. It does require work. We can't just passively sit back and go, okay, I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I'm going to heaven. I'm good to go. No, you're not good to go. Yeah, you're good to go to for heaven, but your life, if you want a healthy, happy, abundant life, you actually have to put the hard work in of putting into practice everything Jesus taught. If you hold on to grudges and you refuse to forgive even the most serious sin against you, I'm telling you, at the end of your life, your heart's going to be the size of a raisin. It's going to shrivel up so much if you're hanging on to grudges. The more you can forgive, the larger your heart becomes. And if you decide to ignore Jesus' teachings about lust, what's your life going to look like in the next few years, the next few decades? Ask anybody, man or woman, who's got a porn addiction, what their life has been like. It's hell, I'm telling you. I know people personally who've struggled with this. It's not a fun thing. If you spend most of your life hoarding your treasures for yourself here on earth rather than be generous towards the kingdom of God, again, your heart is just going to shrivel to the size of a raisin. Because the more we hoard stuff for ourselves, the smaller we become in spirit. But the more generous we are, the more we give away of ourselves and of our stuff, the larger our heart gets. So which do you want at the end of your life when you die? It's the little choices we make day in and day out that will eventually set the course of your life, the trajectory of your life. So for you young folks, guys that are teens and in your 20s, set the trajectory of your life now by putting into practice the things that Jesus has taught. He can't force you to do anything that he said here. So choose wisely. And you have to make that choice for yourself every day. And I just reiterate again and again, he promises if you will put this stuff into practice, it's going to pay off over the course of your life when the storms come. And those storms will come, but they're not forever. They will pass. But you will still be standing strong if you've been putting into practice all that he's taught. I'm saying, you guys, that Jesus paid a very high price to purchase us. You are not your own. You belong to Jesus Christ, and you know what he paid to get you, to buy you, to redeem you. He paid with his own blood, not with silver and gold, but with his blood. You belong to him, but he's not going to force obedience upon you. That's your choice. And I just want to say, please, please choose obedience to Jesus. Put into practice everything that he taught. And I promise you, if you will do that, it will pay off when those storms come. Would you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you that in spite of the storms, we know for certain that you will never leave us or abandon us. You will always be with us, no matter how painful they are. And we know that if we have been faithfully putting into practice everything you've taught, that we will fare a lot better than if we haven't. Oh God, how I ask that you would give us the wisdom and the courage and the resolve to obey you, to do the hard work of digging down to the bedrock, getting rid of all the sand, and just focusing on you and your teachings. And not just pretending that we're obeying you, but truly obeying you. And Lord, we know we can't do it on our own. We know we can only do it through your power. And you said that you would give us the Holy Spirit if we asked. And we're asking right now. We need you, Holy Spirit, to infuse us and empower us that we might live lives the way that Jesus wants us to live, so that we can receive the abundance of all those blessings. And so, Father, we lift up this prayer in the wonderful and precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.